Now, physics played a crucial role on another playing field last night, a ballpark in Arlington, Texas.
Here comes the pitch. Breaking ball, strike three call! The Rangers are going to the World Series!
For the first time in the team's 50-year history, the Texas Rangers won the American League Championship. And that final pitch, the one Rangers pitcher Neftali Feliz threw past the Yankees' Alex Rodriguez, it was a devastating breaking ball. Now, for decades, scientists and baseball fans have debated the physical properties of pitches that break or curve. And there's new research that suggests what you see when a pitcher throws a curve isn't exactly what you get. So we headed out to a local park here in Washington to test out the theory.
Oh.
That's three strikes for me. We recruited a local pitcher, Ben Webster. He plays for his high school team in Bethesda, Maryland. And I gotta say, for a 14-year-old, he's got a pretty mean curve.
Just get a lot of topspin on him.
Anyway, after a few more strikes, we called in American University professor Arthur Shapiro. He's a visual and cognitive scientist, and he says that the curve in the curveball, well, it's mostly in your head.
So the curveball's curving, but there's also this bit, a well-known perceptual puzzle about the curveball, which is instead of seeing a smooth curve, batters often see the ball or report the ball as going through a big, giant jump.
Or a late breaking ball, right?
A late breaking ball where it falls off the edge of a table or breaks off to the right.
Which is actually what just happened to me. I'm standing in the batter's box, Ben pitches at me, and right at the end it just drops.
And it appears to drop.
Right. But that didn't really happen.
Well, it certainly bent and went down, but we think that the reason why it looks so strong has to do with how the eye is organized. So when we look out in the world, we think we see the world as this one giant uniform spot. But the center of our vision is made up of really tightly packed cells. And the periphery is made up of loosely packed cells. And so it's as if we have a really high density, high resolution camera in the center and a really sparse cell phone camera in the periphery.
So if you were to video it, right, the same thing, and you were to look at it later, and you had seen it from the perspective of the batter, that batter might be able to see those differences?
Well, if you're watching the ball, and you're in the batter's box, and you see a spinning ball, if it's coming through, our hypothesis says, at first you're watching it in the central part of your visual system. But after about a third of the way through, the ball's going too fast to track it entirely. So you take your eye off the ball and move to where you think the ball and bat are going to collide. And when you do that, the image of the ball goes from the central part of the vision to the periphery, and that's going to lead to you seeing the ball in an entirely different way.
Now, here's the thing about Shapiro's study. He says the point of it isn't just that curveballs work differently than we thought, but rather by studying how our brains become confused by the illusion of a breaking ball, we might be able to answer larger questions.
What's the difference between fovea and periphery? And how does it affect what happens in the real world? What happens when this part of your brain or this part of your eye starts getting damaged by disease or other problems?
That's Arthur Shapiro. He's a professor of psychology at the American University here in Washington, D.C. His study looking at the neuroscience of curveballs can be found in the journal PLOS-1. Arthur Shapiro, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And if you want to see an optical illusion that shows just how a curveball doesn't curve but does, check out our website, npr.org.